Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about this theme I've been touching on all week, living in the essence of the faith. And in this season of Lent, it's such an important time for us to do just that, to stop, to slow down, and through prayer and penance and sacrifice, almsgiving, and the rest, to be able to set apart this time and to dispose ourselves to the grace of God and to allow the church, the teaching of the church, the teaching of Jesus, to lay hold of our minds and hearts in a deeper way again and to take stock with where we are. Where am I in relationship to Jesus and his church? And am I really living as a disciple of Christ? Am I living like a son? Am I living like a daughter of God? Jesus wants to give us all the help we need to get there and to live in it and to stay in it. It's easy to just sort of skim over this season without taking a deep dive. And a deep dive in the season of Lent is being willing to take an honest examination of our hearts, to be able to allow the light of the Holy Spirit through reading the Word of God, through listening to the teaching of the church, to receiving input from others, to be able to help you take stock, to examine your heart, and to get right with God. It's so important to get right with God. You know, everyone's aware in the country right now, in the United States, that we're in very turbulent and difficult, stressful, and divisive time. There's a lot of division in the country. There's a lot of craziness in the country that's going on. There's an unraveling of fundamental values that we've held on to, that we built our civilization upon. There's the larger kind of global battle that's been happening over the last few decades, over the minds and hearts of people, is gripping our own country in a more significant way. I think one of the things we've seen is that we're living in destabilizing times, and God is permitting this to happen for a purpose, and the church is right in the middle of it all. Because the church is feeling very destabilized. I've been talking about all week, I don't have to redo it all. I'd like to, as I promised, to read the reflections of Cardinal Ratzinger one more time from an interview that he was a part of way back in 1969 that is prophetic and prophetic for our time, and I think gives a real understanding of why we're living through the trials that we're in and why this season of Lent is so important for us to understand how to cooperate with what God is doing. And what God is doing is he's allowing trial, testing, purification, and even judgment and discipline to be on his church because of the significant way large portions of the church have sought to conform themselves to the world. The church in many ways is worldly. It's reflecting not so much the glory and majesty and beauty and joy and humility of Jesus, but it's projecting a compromise into the world, a church divided. Scripture is so clear, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Lots of us have our feet in, you know, one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the kingdom of darkness. Lots of people living in the twilight, not wanting to come fully into the light of Christ and belonging radically to him and living under his lordship and majesty in the kind of way St. Paul talks about in Scripture, right? He says, my life is no longer my own. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. Jesus died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. Friends, we are living at a time when the culture is in overdrive trying to tell us, live for yourself. You, me, me, me. Live for yourself. Define everything on your own terms. You're the center of all things. Everything must revolve around you. Everybody must acknowledge your assertion of your will and your vision of reality in the world. Everybody must genuflect to your self-creativity. I mean, where'd that come from? It came from we're in the midst of a global spiritual battle. And it's intensified in our time. There's a wonderful Catholic thinker. His name is Marguerite Peters. We talked about the new global ethic that has emerged around the world, and largely through the UN and through think tanks and NGOs and things, that a small group of powerful ideological folk who want to change the world. They want to change the definition of fundamental things. They want a new paradigm. They want to look at human life and human beings totally differently than something radically different from what the church historically has done or what the Western world has done. To have a vision apart from God and to deconstruct the values that have informed the way of life and the culture of the West for centuries, for millennia. She described how much the battle goes on where there's a new global ethic, which means new values are being raised to the top. For example, the right to choose. The right to choose is like one of the fundamental values that these ideological forces that are really through strategic thinking, through strategic efforts to get countries and leaders to be able to buy into these values as the most important values that governments should be concerned about. So the right to choose on every level, the right to choose what it means to be a man, whether I'm a man or I'm a woman, whether the right to choose what marriage is going to mean for me, if it's going to mean traditional marriage between a man and a woman, or marriage between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and three women, or a woman and four men. We have a right in this new global ethic to name our own values, to choose ourselves what we want. When I want to die, how I want to die. Nobody can tell me I can't kill myself or I can't require physicians today to take my life simply because I want to die and I want to die on my own terms. And all these things, as these dominoes fall, cultures, governments can't hold them up and can't stand against these things anymore because this new global ethic is laying hold of the mind and the consciousness of people. And people are saying, you know, well, if you don't affirm the redefinition of marriage, you're a bigoted, you're a hateful, you're a bad person. You're not an ethical person. You're not a good person. And the pressure is coming to conform to that understanding instead of the former understanding, which was to say, no, marriage is between a man and a woman. There's so many natural ways you can say why that is, and there's spiritual ways that inform that natural, obvious understanding. What are they after? They're after the, ultimately, they're looking to destabilize the culture and to redefine what it should be right at its foundation. And they do that by destabilizing the rational and theological understanding and apprehension of reality. And it gets all the way down to the root of deconstructing the anthropological structures themselves. It's kind of a big frame. What does it mean? Anthropology, what, the study of man. Ask yourself the question, why are we in the midst of this constant obsessive talk about transgender and of hundreds of gender possibilities and redefinition of human sexuality, redefinition of male and female, deconstruction, as Pope Francis said, the whole world is at war against the family, against marriage and the family. Why is this happening? It's intentional. It's ultimately driven by the kingdom of darkness to deconstruct what God has made, the great institution of family, the image and likeness of God and man and woman together, man and woman together, male and female together, and in family life in particular, together. The community which comes forth from male and female together, the image of God being united, bears the image of God himself. This is the institution God has made and God has created. People say, no. You got to get this religion, this bigoted religion, out of every dimension of the public square. There really is no God. You can believe that if you want in your private fantasy world, but you've got to get out. What's real is what we define as real. Reality is simply a social construct then. Truth and reality don't exist in an objective way. There is no God who's the revealer of truth. There is no reality, no God who is the source of reality, and even rationality, you might say. So this truth is something we decide. I mean, that's really where our culture's at right now. And so using things like the right to choose as the ultimate moral imperative on everybody, and then defining the right to choose as saying no reference can be made to any kind of objective morality. Everybody just simply lives their own morality. What it does ultimately, whether those people are driving it, think about it this way, I know some do, but not everybody. What it's after is to destroy God's creation, to destroy God's creative order, to destroy human happiness ultimately. And the church is living through this time, a time when there's trial and testing and difficulty, and the church is being pruned. Are you going to be faithful? Or are you, the light that's in the church, is that light just simply going to go out and go dim? And the church won't radiate to a world that's in darkness anymore, a light that's a hope and that reveals God's plan and purpose. Because a compromised church simply can't do that. A lukewarm church can't do that. That's why Christ needs to discipline his church. He's trying to form saints, people who know and are totally sold out and are living in the essence of God's goodness and love and mercy and the awareness of the dignity of the human person as God has created and revealed to us. So as I read in this interview with Pope Benedict XVI, actually, you know, when he was cardinal, a young priest, he talks about this great trial that the church is going to go through, but that the trial is going to lead to a return to, he said, the church will find her essence afresh. She'll find her heart again, which is God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, life in and with the Holy Spirit, living in the church, living in her sacraments, radiating the love of God in power. He said, but when the trial of this sifting is past, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church. Men in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely. If they have completely lost sight of God, they will feel the whole horror of their poverty. Then they will discover the little flock of believers as something wholly new. They will discover it as a hope that is meant for them, an answer for which they have always been searching in secret. He foresees a time when the church is going to be profoundly tested. She's going to lose her power in society. Her big institutions, many of them are going to collapse. They're going to compromise. Look at the state of some of the Catholic universities across the country. They're not beacons of confidence in the gospel and radiating the essence of the very core of Christianity. They're conforming to the world more and more every single day, and they're becoming the acolytes of this new religion, essentially, that's arising in the culture. God's going to prune it all, and that infidelity is just going to, the church, it's going to collapse, or it's going to separate itself from the church because it wants to live in the favor of the world. And Cardinal Ratzinger goes on, he said, and so it seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We will have to count on terrific upheavals, but I'm equally certain about what will remain at the end, not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. She may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she once was, but she will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as man's home, where he will find life and hope beyond death. Friends, that's what the church brings, and you bring it, and I bring it, if we live in the essence of the church and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's do that now in this season of Lent. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.